Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Todd Tomasello with Safeguard Your Soul Radio, and I've got a really special guest on the line with me today, Mr. Paul Roberts from down. Paul, you're around Austin, Texas, right?
Right, Elgin, Texas.
Elgin? Oh, they say Elgin. I always thought it was Elgin.
Just outside, it's just outside of Austin.
Either one works, huh?
That's right.
Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, Paul and I met. Paul, I think it's kind of, I think it's probably been 10 years ago or so. And I think you were looking for something on the subject of the Nicolaitanes, if I'm not mistaken. And you couldn't find it. So the Christ for the Nation bookstore searched for it, I think, for a while online and finally found that. One of the books we have in the ministry had a couple of chapters in there on the doctrine, the deeds and the doctrines of the Nicolaitanes, which Jesus said he hated. Is that right? Am I recalling that correctly, brother?
No, you're absolutely right. And there was very few books out there. A matter of fact, there were none. They had to search the internet just for a long time and finally found your book.
Yeah, I'll never forget that. And I've been blessed to have good fellowship with you, Brother Paul, for those years. And now you have been in ministry for how many years, brother?
It's going to go on about 40 years.
Well, what a blessing. I know the Lord is glorified by that. I know that I've been blessed thoroughly by lots of the stuff that you do in ministry that I've been blessed to partake of and be ministered to by. And it's a gift from God to have you as an elder in my life. And to have you on the show today, praise God.
Thank you,
and,
brother.
Yes, sir, brother. It's a delight. And we're going to talk a little bit about, I think you're going to talk a little bit about departed. You know, Paul warned, actually the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, 2, and 3, departing from the faith. I believe that's where we get the Greek word apostasy, or the word apostasy in English comes from the Greek word there, departed. And so I titled today's show, Departed, because in this day and age, Brother Paul, as you're pointing out in the little intro here, the modern church world has departed or gone away or is doing something different than what we see as a pattern in Scripture. And, you know, this makes me, always brings me back, Brother Paul, to thanking God that we have the Holy Scriptures, which are a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so we have no excuse to be deceived because we have the Bible. And
amen.
We don't have to be deceived because we got a Bible, right?
Right.
And the verse you introed here with, I love it, 1 Corinthians 1:10. Paul says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that they be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment." That's a truth that every believer listening to me should pore over prayerfully and consider,
yes,
closely. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Let me read it one more time before I turn this over to Brother Paul. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 1:10 because, Brother Paul, this is meaning more to me now than it has. And I've looked into this verse, but it's enlightening my mind afresh and further here. "Now I beseech you, brethren," this is the will of God, saints, listen, "by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing." God wants us all to speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, no difference. If we're all reading from the same Bible, why should there be any difference? "But that ye be perfectly joined together," perfectly, notice, "joined together in the same mind," the mind of Christ revealed through the Holy Scriptures, "and in the same judgment," which I mean, I believe in this case, Brother Paul, help me if I'm missing it, tends toward discernment, the word judgment here.
Yes, yes, that's
correct.
That's correct. Well, let me start off by pointing out where we are in time a little bit. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, Scripture tells us, to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. For example, there's a time to plant, and there's a time to pluck up that which is planted. There's a time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. Now, according to Matthew 24, we're now in a critical time period in the church age known as the beginning of sorrows, which is for the purpose of judgment just before the great tribulation. For the time is come, according to Scripture, that judgment must begin at the house of God. And the letters to the seven churches are the essence of that judgment. We are now at this time in history to examine our spiritual condition according to these seven letters, since Jesus is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. We cannot be divided when he comes back, or there will be problems. So, in this time period known as the beginning of sorrows, it would not be an appropriate time to dance, laugh, or make merry. Our attitude in this particular season and time in this church, in the history of the church, should now be according to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 29 to 31, and even more so since we're now closer to the tribulation than when the Apostle Paul addressed the Corinthians. I want to read this scripture.
Yes.
But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. Likewise, it's not a time to stay focused on the tradition-bound rituals of our denominations, like Martha did in Luke chapter 10. She was too busy serving and doing business as usual to sit at the feet of Jesus and take heed to what the Spirit was saying through him, him being the Word of God. She was caught up in doing things right according to tradition rather than doing the right things in recognition of the truth that there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven, which only God knows, since he has reserved the times and seasons for his personal use and power. Now keep in mind that God has, it's not given to us to know the times and the seasons. God's reserved those for his own personal use. However, he promised us in John chapter 16, verse 13, that the Spirit would show us things to come at a season and time that the Father sovereignly chose to reveal them. So it's imperative that we don't shut out the revelations of the Spirit, like Martha, for the sake of tradition-bound ritual. This goes on all the time. I'm in a denominational church, and you can see it all the time. They go through the same rituals day after day, week after week, year after year, never stopping to hear what the Spirit is saying. Therefore, we need to stop what we're doing right now by way of tradition and take heed to what the Spirit of God is revealing to us at this particular time in church history, according to the letters.
I believe that in speaking of the letters right there, all seven of them, he said, let him that has ears to hear what the Spirit saith to the churches, right?
Yes, yes, and that is, we're not taking as serious as what God is trying to make us understand, that this is a serious time in church history. Even though we've got people like Donald Trump out there trying to tell us that he's going to fix America, I hate to tell him that's not the way it's going to work. Regretfully, according to these letters, the Spirit's showing the church at the end of the age to be weak and apostate by virtue of a division caused by our blatant disregard of the warnings of Scripture to take extreme care not to add to or diminish anything from the Word of God.
Amen.
False teachers have come into our midst, as you've pointed out in many of your books. They have come into our midst, and they are teaching us that after we're born again, we can do just as we like without fear of God's punishment. Well, that's a lie out of the pit of hell. That is not the case. If we're not listening to what the Spirit is saying, we're going to get in trouble.
Yes.
Hopefully, our discussion today is going to help us all to overcome the current division within the body and come together as one in the unity of faith. Listen to what the Holy Spirit says to us in the book of Ephesians regarding unity or oneness. It says there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now today the church is just a shadow of its former self. It's and this is as measured against the pattern set by the Holy Spirit for us in the book of Acts. And this is pointed out to us and brought to our attention in the letter to the church at Ephesus. We don't any longer, because we have gotten divided and fallen, we don't enjoy the demonstration of the Holy Ghost and power which was so prominent in the early church.
Yes.
There's one fundamental reason for the weakened state of the church at the end of the church age, and there is one major contributing cause. That one fundamental reason is division. And the major contributing cause is private interpretation of the Scripture that comes from adding or subtracting from the Word of God, which involves human arrogance and spurious translations of the Bible. Arrogance in its word definition means to wrongfully usurp authority to make decisions. Recall the arrogance that was shown by Adam and Eve. Now, we don't even look back to that and say how easy it was. They didn't do anything particularly bad compared to what's going on today, but they chose to just break the sovereignty of God's word and go on their own and do what they wanted to do, which is arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, division within the body of Christ is contrary to Scripture. I mean, totally contrary to the instruction of Scripture, since no man can serve two masters, and a kingdom divided against itself can't stand. The prefix di, D-I, in the word division means two. The word division means two visions. But God has given us only one vision, and that vision comes solely from the words of his mouth, which form only one faith. We are to live by faith based on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, and only those words. Regretfully, Adam and Eve didn't take this seriously, and today it appears that the church doesn't either. We don't really get concerned, and I'm in a denominational church that uses a publication that is based on a Bible that adds and subtracts and alters the Word of God. So it's in major denominations all over the place, and we think that it's okay if we just play with the Word of God. Well, you can't do that. It just doesn't work. The devil will try every which way to get you to think, well, you don't have to really do it that way. You can kind of do this way or that. Well, that's what he got Adam and Eve to do, and that's how the whole earth got plunged into the depth of curse.
That's right. That's right.
So according to the book of Ephesians, when Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave gifts unto men, some apostles, some prophets, some pastors and teachers, some evangelists. And he did this for the work of the ministry, to perfect the saints till we all come into the unity of the faith. And each of these workmen were charged with rightly dividing the word of truth. Except over a period of time, false doctrine crept into the church through private interpretation of the Scriptures. Now again, we're talking about departing, and we're talking about departing because of division. The body keeps getting divided. Words are what constitute our faith. Words produce thoughts in our heart which govern what we think and the actions we take. Therefore, the words that we use can either unify us or they can divide us. Whatever we speak, and that goes back to this 1 Corinthians 1:10. Again, let me read that. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Note this. The above scripture, or this scripture that I just read here, shows us that words are that which cause unity or division. As Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And right now, I can attest to the fact, just personally in the town where I live, that saying the church is divided is an understatement. In the small town of Elgin, Texas, where I live, with a population of only 8,000, the church directory of the little town newspaper lists 12 major denominations with 63 separate and independently operated 501c3 nonprofit organizations calling themselves churches that are dispersed among these 12 major denominations. Now, all of the people in Elgin are not churched, so you can imagine what a split this is, and we are not all speaking the same thing. The Holy Spirit has given us guiding principles for interpreting the Scripture, which are to be used by the church in all generations to develop sound doctrine to prevent division within the body of Christ. There are 11 major principles I could give which guide and govern the interpretation of Scripture, but due to our time restraints today, I can only address just a few. But these are major principles that I'm going to give you that must always be factored in to our consideration whenever we're developing sound doctrine. The first principle, and Todd, jump in on some of these principles.
Sure.
This first principle is a preeminent principle by which we have to always be guided, no exceptions. Never diminish from or add to the Word of God.
Amen. We got that right in the last verses of the Bible, folks. Let me remind you, because most of us know this, but we must be reminded, as Peter said, continually of the Word of God. Verse 18 and 19 of Revelation 22, right at the end of the Scriptures, the canon of Scripture, the Bible says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." Now, that includes the lake of fire, which he thoroughly addresses in the words before this particular passage. That's part of the plagues, the eternal lake of fire. And verse 19, "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy," and we understand that to be the whole of the Word of God, "God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." Now, Brother Paul, I know this isn't our main subject, but you spoke of it a little bit earlier. If your name is in the book of life, it's coming out if you dare add to or take away from the words of the book of the Scriptures.
Yeah, those who believe once saved, always saved, need to pay real close attention and ponder what just got said. Because we didn't say this. The Scripture said this. So it's a real that's why there's got to be a reverential fear of adding to or subtracting from the Word of God. Here's another scripture verse, and there's more than this, but this is all we have time to do. It says in Deuteronomy 4:2, "You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Now note this. Jesus said this in Matthew 5:17-19. "If one jot or one tittle of any word of the law is willfully broken, then that person who willfully breaks the least of these commandments by doing so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And I don't want that title etched in my tombstone, because he is very serious about his word. Because any time you transgress the word, you're transgressing his will, which is sin. And the wages of sin is death. And because of the vision, it says in the church, there are many that are weak and sickly, and some have even fallen asleep. You know, a lot of people just scratch their head when people get cancer and die that are very good people in the church, and they don't realize that we're members of a body. And if my pancreas goes bad on me, it affects the rest of my body. So the reason God wants us all to get together and start loving one another and acting like we're truly interdependent upon each other, if we don't do that, it affects other people. I don't just affect myself when I sin. It affects everybody in the body.
Yes.
So that's something that we need to be careful about. Again, division is what we're talking about here. The second principle is that God, not men, authored the scripture. God himself chooses and chose who he initially gave the word to. And initially, he gave it to Moses. And if you'll recall, Aaron and Miriam got arrogant, and they wanted to confront Moses by saying that God speaks to us too. And when God heard that, he immediately came down and called Aaron and Miriam to account right before Moses. And he said, I speak plainly to Moses, face to face. He speaks to everybody else in dreams and visions and stuff. But he spoke to the guy that he chose to actually give the initial words of Scripture to, face to face. And when he came down to Miriam and Aaron, when he left, Miriam was struck with leprosy. And he sought to kill Aaron if it wasn't for the intercession of Moses. And that's in Numbers chapter 12. And another thing, I hear a lot of times that people try to study the backgrounds, the personalities, and the cultural mores during a certain time period in the Scripture. And that's a fruitless endeavor, because God's word was authored by him. He gave it to men and told them to write it. They didn't sit back, study, and decide what to come up with. So,
and why waste their time on something like that?
Apostle Paul with women. Pardon me?
I wonder why we waste our time on that. We should be enamored with the Lord who expresses his own mind and heart through his word, that we wouldn't have time to search out and learn about the personalities of mere men, you know? That just concerns.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if we would just believe what he writes, we'd be okay.
Yes.
The third principle is, when we try to obtain truth, we have to rely exclusively on the particular Bible translation from those translators that God authorized to preserve his word to all future generations according to his promise in Psalms chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Remember, God chose certain scribes to reprint his words onto new parchments after the old parchments were worn out. So not only did he choose the men that he gave the initial words of Scripture, but he also sovereignly chose the men who he had reprint these things. So it's not just any version that we want to pick up that's going to be okay. We have got to look at what the real Bible is. And there's a friend of mine who I've known for 40 years, Floyd Nolan Jones, who's a very capable brother in the Scripture, that did tremendous research, and the upshot of that was that the 1611 version of the King James Bible is the Bible that God authorized, and he's got this in a publication entitled "Which Version Is the Bible?" And if a lot of us don't want to do the research to find that out, but he's done it for us. So I've read it, and there it is, and he did a wonderful job. And there's some Bibles, and there's a very popular version of the Bible, the NIV or the New International Version, and it subtly leaves out some things. And I can't give you all that it does, but there's a lot of adding to, subtracting from, and altering the Word of God in this particular version. And there's one verse in particular I want to call your attention to in Colossians 1:14 that says, it's through His blood that we have forgiveness of sins. But the New International Version leaves that out. And let me give you the comparison or the contrast between the NIV and the New International Version on that one verse of Scripture. In King James, it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. That's King James. Now, the NIV says, in whom we have redemption. Nothing mentioned about the blood, the forgiveness of sins. Note this one thing. Reference to the blood is one of the most important of all aspects of the gospel, in that without faith in the shed blood of Jesus at the cross, there is no remission of sin, not to mention it's a sin in and of itself to add to or diminish from the Word of God, which the NIV did. So people need to be aware that not all these versions that come out that are so popular that even the pastors use are the right thing. So be careful.
Well, that's the problem. These pastors have no discernment. Most of them aren't even saved, I surmise here. And, you know, it's a dangerous occupation. I mean, the NIV, Brother Paul, you're probably familiar with the fact that it's removed 64,000 words from the original Bible and the manuscripts we have in existence, of which the King James agrees with. 98% of the manuscripts agree with each other, and that's where the King James Bible comes from. And in fulfillment of prophecy, this great apostasy, which you're talking about today, that we live in, virtually all the new versions come from the very few, minuscule few, the 1% or 2% manuscripts that have been corrupted. Isn't that amazing? The Bible says
it
Satan
is.
Has come down with great wrath because he knows his time's short. And boy, I tell you, Brother Paul, I don't know that he's hit a bigger home run, if you will, to deceive the masses who claim to be Christian than to pervert the very Word of God. It's like poisoning the only stream you have in town to go get water from, isn't it?
Yes, and another thing before we get off the air here, which of your publications do you really nail a lot of this?
On the Bible versions, at this point, we don't have a book in print, but we've got a very a thorough two or three posts. If you look under Bible versions,
okay. And
it's extremely in-depth. Resources and research and comparison of verses, as you did a moment ago with Colossians 1:14, where the blood of Jesus has been removed. Brother Paul, for me, as you stated very clearly, there's nothing could be more important than the blood of Jesus. And for me, that Colossians 1:14 is all it takes. If we cannot be saved outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. And so if we honor God and we have the Holy Spirit in us, I would, got a minute and a half left here. I believe that should absolutely, will absolutely alarm us to the depth of our being. And so we've got about 30 more seconds for you, maybe 45, Brother Paul. Go ahead.
Okay. I want to just say one thing about the letter to the church at Sardis. I had all of the seven letters, but I know we don't have time. But one of the things about the church at Sardis, this was the church of the Reformation that was began by John Huss, Martin Luther, and Wycliffe.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular church stopped very short of going back to the apostolic pattern. And what's happened here is the church of the Protestant Reformation has almost come full circle today, and it's now reminiscent of the Catholic Church from whom the protesters sought to detach themselves, and pastors have now become the new popes of Protestantism. People are paying obeisance to these guys and or submission to the ministry, and they call this the covering doctrine. However, that particular thing of submitting, and it's a false humility, submitting to these guys, it's a deviation from Christ's command in Matthew chapter 23, verses 8 to 12 as follows. But be ye not called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. And all ye are brethren, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. neither be ye called master, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you will be the servant. So I guess in summing up, we've got to start having a reverential fear for adding to or subtracting from the Word of God, and be very careful with spurious translations of the Bible.
Absolutely. Praise God. That'd be a good place to pick up on a doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which is pretty much what you just described, Brother Paul. But
yes.
Now we'll close in a prayer and hopefully have you on again soon. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord. Sanctify our hearts unto thyself today, Lord. Unite our hearts to fear thy holy name, we pray with David. Unite us in our hearts, in the depth of our being, to fear thy holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.